This is Morning Edition on VPR. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Good morning. The refiling of murder charges in a 2017 killing has become the center of a politicized debate. How should the state handle people who, because of mental illness, can't be held criminally responsible for their actions? As VPR's Liam Elder Connors reports, the case of Ida Garung came back to courts when the attorney general overrode a county prosecutor's decision to dismiss the case.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Good morning, Judge.
Good morning, all. We're on the record in Mr. Garung's case.
Last week, attorneys gathered in a relatively empty courtroom to hash out some procedural details in the case of Ida Garung. In many ways, it was an unremarkable 40-minute affair.
Let me think about that November 15th deadline.
What was notable was the fact this hearing was even happening. Charges against Garung were dropped in May, but then refiled last month. The case at the heart of this matter is one of the more grisly cases in recent memory. 2 years ago, in the middle of the afternoon, Garung allegedly stood in front of his house in Burlington and repeatedly struck his wife with a meat cleaver, according to court documents. Garung's mother-in-law lay on the steps of the house a few feet away, bleeding. Garung's wife, Yogeswari Kudka, died. Just hours before the alleged crime, Garung had left the University of Vermont Medical Center, where he'd been for a few days after he voluntarily checked in to get treatment for mental health issues. Chittenden County prosecutors thought it was obvious Garung was legally insane, meaning he couldn't be held criminally responsible for his actions. Three mental health experts, including one hired by prosecutors, said he was psychotic at the time of the alleged crime. Garung went into the custody of the Department of Mental Health for treatment. Chittenden County State's Attorney Sarah George dismissed charges against him. Then,
the matter before the court is docket 3261-9-19, State versus Garung.
In September, suddenly, Garung was back in court, facing charges that only a few months ago had been dismissed. Garung was led into the courtroom in shackles and arraigned for a second time on charges of murder and attempted murder. During the proceedings, he kept his head down, staring at the floor.
Crimes charged are punishable by life sentences.
This time, Attorney General T.J. Donovan was prosecuting Garung. His office had reviewed and refiled the case after a request from Governor Phil Scott. The governor had publicly raised safety concerns about the dismissals of three cases involving the insanity defense. Donovan, the Democratic AG, is reportedly considering a run for governor. He admitted he wouldn't have refiled the charges if Governor Scott, a Republican, hadn't asked. But Donovan argued his decision was about restoring public trust.
And the issue of sanity is a question of fact. And a question of fact you put in front of a judge or you put in front of a jury, you put all the evidence out there, the good, the bad, and you let people decide. That's how our system of justice works.
Garung's attorneys and other legal experts have questioned the ethics of refiling, a highly unusual move.
Criminal cases aren't theater, and they're not therapy.
David Slay, an attorney in St. Johnsbury, says if all the experts determine someone's legally insane, refiling charges is problematic.
If you were asking the jury to convict the defendant in spite of unrebutted evidence that he's insane, then you're asking them to ignore their obligations under the law. And prosecutors have an obligation not to ask juries to ignore the law.
Garung's attorney says prosecutors have not introduced any new evidence. The court is also weighing whether the AG's office can get a new expert to review Garung's sanity claims. The insanity defense, which exists in most states, is a long-standing legal concept. The documentary series Frontline found some forms of it can be traced back to the 1500s. At the most basic level, if someone is found legally insane, they're not held criminally responsible for their actions. In Vermont, the defense has to prove insanity by a preponderance of evidence, a lower standard than beyond reasonable doubt. The Vermont judiciary does not collect statistics about how often the insanity defense is used, but Defender General Matt Valerio says it's not common.
First of all, people need to know insanity defenses are rare. They're rarely successful. When they do occur, there is a structure through the Department of Mental Health that allows mental health to hold people as long as they're a danger to themselves or others.
That policy is at the heart of this debate. DMH can release people once they've been treated, and due to privacy regulations, that information's not shared publicly. For prosecutors like Windham County State's Attorney Tracy Shriver, that's a problem. Shriver says prosecutors are focused on public safety, and the mental health system is not.
Our concern as prosecutors for keeping the public safe for someone who can't be held criminally responsible
does not currently mesh well with mental health professionals whose understandable focus is treatment of folks who are mentally ill.
There are potential changes on the horizon for how the state handles these cases. Lawmakers are mulling new legislation that would require at least 3 years of state supervision for people found not guilty of murder or attempted murder by reason of insanity. But not everyone sees the current system as broken. Jack McCullough has represented patients in the mental health system through Vermont Legal Aid. He says, in his experience, people aren't slipping through the cracks.
I personally have represented people and continue to represent people who may have been charged with a crime 10, 20, 30 or more years ago, who continue to be either physically confined or committed to the custody of the Department of Mental Health.
Prior to the refiling of his case, Gurung's condition had reportedly been improving, though he was still at a high risk for suicide. He was held in a locked treatment facility in Middlesex, but after charges were refiled in September, DMH said it would no longer support the order that placed Gurung there, according to court documents. DMH wouldn't talk specifically about Gurung's case. However, the department says generally, new criminal charges can affect a person's placement. So, the court ruled while the case proceeds, Gurung will be held in jail in St. Albans. In a recent interview, Sandra Lee, a public defender representing Gurung, expressed concern that his condition was deteriorating in jail.
When you put somebody who is already determined to be severely mentally ill and then you put them into the jail, it's not surprising if there's a consequence.
A judge has set Gurung's trial to begin in March. But before that, there's still a number of legal steps, including a hearing to determine if he's mentally competent to stand trial. For VPR News, I'm Liam Elder Connors.